Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man tried to settle a dog poop dispute with a dangerous drive-by. A Tamarack man was arrested after he tried to run over a neighbor with his vehicle over a dispute involving dog do. It happened on January 23rd, Broward County. They responded to a neighbor dispute because they got reports of a man acting erratically and trying to strike neighbors with his vehicle. Upon arrival, deputies encountered a very angry 47-year-old Lucas Satin seated in the driver's seat of a vehicle. And as deputies approached and requested to speak with Satin, he yelled out of his window, "Stay away! I don't trust you!" And then warned if the deputies came any closer, he would drive off, according to court documents. As backup vehicles arrived, Satin indeed drove away and left the scene without being questioned. And then following his departure, they then began interviewing neighbors. Apparently, he was revving his engine for hours and tried to run over another neighbor. And it happened because the victim told deputies he was walking his dog in the vicinity of Satin's home. Satin drove by. They waved as if everything was okay. And then Satin drove around the neighborhood one more time, yelled at him to keep his dog off the property, and to which the victim told Satin, "You know I clean up after him." Satin disagreed, and then he tried to mow him down with his car. So that's how it all started. And they did get him. They did get Satin, though. They said they did find him, and they arrested and charged him with one count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and he is on house arrest now following a mental health evaluation. A Florida man who allegedly, there's video of him doing it, okay? A Florida man who was on camera beating a shark on a beach should be charged, according to the Wildlife Commission. Now, Florida wildlife officials are saying that there should be charges against a man accused of dragging a shark around on a beach and beating it with a hammer in December. I agree. According to Florida Fish and Wildlife, the agency is recommending that two charges be filed against the 33-year-old, including harvesting or possessing a prohibited species, catching said species, and not immediately releasing it without harm. It's going to be up to Broward County State Attorney's Office to determine whether or not they're going to file charges against this guy. But he was accused of dragging around this shark at Bicentennial Beach Park. It was all captured on vehicle, and he hit it on the head with a hammer and then, you know, released it into the water. But apparently it looked like a lemon shark, which is a protected species. They weren't able to find it after they hit it with a hammer. But it's like, why do you got to do that? Look, you're not going to settle the score. OK, that's not how this works. Just stop. And a Florida man tells cops that Jesus told him to drive his Ferrari off of a pier. Yeah, that's what happened. A Florida man confesses to the cops, "Jesus told me to drive my Ferrari 360 off a pier." 48-year-old James Mucciaccio of Deerfield Beach, Florida, drove his Ferrari off the end of a dock in Palm Beach after a confrontation with the police officer. He was rummaging through his Ferrari. The car was parked on the public beach dock. The officer told him he couldn't park there. He said Jesus told me to drive it off and apparently tried to do that. Wow. Or you could give the Ferrari away to people who don't have Ferraris. You know, they're poor in Ferraris. Third hour on the way. Make sure you sign up for that newsletter, too, because we got State of the Union behind the scenes stuff coming as well. Stick with us. You've heard me talk about my friends at Kel-Tec for years, and it's because I really believe in them as a company and as innovators. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond, like with the Kel-Tec P50, a revolutionary award-winning pistol that packs a punch in a compact package. The Kel-Tec P50 is perfect for home defense, for range shooting, or just even having some fun. And with its top-mounted Picatinny rail, you can easily attach your favorite optics or accessories to make it truly yours. Whether you are a seasoned shooter or you're just starting out, the Kel-Tec P50 is the perfect pistol for anyone looking for power and precision in a compact and easy-to-use package. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond. Learn more about the P50 pistol at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. We were having this discussion. We're a weird show because our staff, like Kane is, you're sort of like in the middle of Gen X. Yeah, Gen X. I'm like barely Gen X. I'm baby, little infant baby, newborn Gen X, which I will be in Gen X. I'll, I mean, I... I'll lie. I literally will lie about my age and make myself older if I have to. I swear hands to sky, I will. And then we had this conversation because we were talking about certain attributes of millennials that even, like, Steve's a millennial and he even hates millennials. And we're like, Steve, you're the only millennial we like. And he's a baby millennial, and Juan is Gen Z. Juan is, where does he fall in Gen Z? So he's
right in the beginning of Gen Z.
Yeah. Right, so he's like an older Gen Z dude. He's older Gen Z. I think it's so arbitrary, by the way, how they cut these things off. It's really weird. I just think it's very arbitrary. And then wasn't there supposed to be, I was reading someone, or reading this piece from some sociologist who was saying that there actually is a micro gen between Z, or between millennials and X, because of the internet, the creation of the internet. And it was determined, which I think is stupid, but I mean, I guess I can understand the argument. And it was determined by whether or not you had the internet when you were in school, which doesn't really make that much of a difference. Dude, I remember I had like high school AOL chat. Remember that? I was a troll, man. I was such a troll. Everything was black. My font was black. Everything was black. And I would come in with like Slayer or something. I could like code it in and drop it. It was all like so stupid.
The best we had in my school was do you remember the K-Pros? Those K-Pro machines, they look like when the keyboard was attached to the top of it, it had a handle on it and you carried it around like a freaking suitcase. And you took the keyboard off the top of it and it had its little screen and you put your floppy disks in there.
I totally don't remember that.
Oh my gosh, that's what I was introduced to when I was young.
I remember, do people have typing class anymore?
I had that when I was in high
school. Because they were phasing that out when I was in high school. Like, but I was a senior in high school before they started to not have such much of an emphasis on it. And now I don't even think they offer it, along with home ec, or I don't think they offer shop. Do high schools have shop classes anymore?
They did when I was in high school. I don't know about now. I don't think so.
Did you really have a high school experience if you didn't walk past a shop class full of burnouts? Like at least once an afternoon? I mean, was it really a high school experience? I don't know. Or the nerds in the typing lab? Was it really a high school?
We did serious stuff in shop. We rebuilt starter motors. We rebuilt lawnmower.
You guys
engines.
Did cool stuff in there.
Yeah,
I sewed a pig pillow in home ec. But I will say, I also learned how to balance a checkbook and do other adulting things in home ec. Yeah. Where kids don't do that now. My oldest son was complaining about it. He was like, they didn't teach us this stuff in school. I'm like, really? I was like, they didn't teach. He's like, no. I mean, we had to take home ec. I think it was actually mandatory. I was in seventh grade and I had to take home ec. But when you were in junior high, you had to take one year of home ec, two semesters. And then one of my projects was I had to, along with a team of other similarly addled people, domestically addled people, because we're kids, we had to make like a whole, like, what was it, 3-course meal, and had the budgeting and everything. And then I had to create a pillow and you could pick from a pattern. And I think it's funny now that one of my hobbies is now one of my final projects for, it's funny. But yeah, they don't teach us stuff anymore. They don't teach. And then I just wonder if that's, because have you heard kids complain about this now? It's Gen Z that I hear this the most from. They're like, oh my gosh, we didn't learn about any of this stuff. Balance a checkbook. What? I don't even use checks. I'm like, well, you still need to go and like look at your bank account and make sure that nobody's stealing from you. I mean, be obsessive about that stuff.
I think high school should have those type of classes in addition to how to fill out your taxes.
Yeah, they don't teach any of that.
How to start an LLC.
How to address an envelope.
Yeah, just those simple things. We've totally abandoned all that stuff.
I had one of my friends, because we're sending out graduation. You send out graduation invites and all that stuff. And one of my friends she texted me. And she was like, oh my gosh. She said, did you deal with this with your child? She's like, because I sat down with my son and we were filling out graduation announcements and invites, and she said he literally did not know how to fill out the envelope. And I go, what? She's like, he literally did not know where to put what on the envelope. Wow. Well, okay, think about it though. In his defense, really quick, how often do Gen Z people,
right,
do they get mail, right? How often? I mean, who sends you mail? It's either spam, military.
Right.
What else?
Circulars.
Yeah.
Credit card application.
Credit card applications. And that's kind of really it. Everything else is like Evite. It's all like something else, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I'm just a little fascinated by all of that. Yeah, they don't teach any of that stuff. I'm actually thinking, like, I don't know, or college stuff. You get college stuff, and that's kind of it. They don't get me. Everything is Evite. Even like your bank stuff is well, I mean, you might get like your summary, you know, your monthly statement, but that's it. They don't really get. So I was thinking about it, and then I check with my kid, and I'm like, hey, do you know how to fill out an envelope? Now, remember, I homeschooled for a number of years, and thankfully, he reminded me that that's one of the things that we covered, because we did a Flat Stanley thing. I don't know if you guys remember Flat Stanley. It was a little boy who was flat, and his parents sent him around to travel the world in an envelope, which was incredibly irresponsible. But, I mean, we wouldn't have had the book without it. So anyway, would you say it's like quizzing Gen Z on rotary phones?
Yeah, on the rotary phone.
That is one of my favorite things to watch. Young Gen Z figuring out how to use a rotary phone is one of my favorite. Those videos are so like wholesome and genuine. Yeah. These kids are like, how do you use this? And they pick it up and they're like, it's already on. How do you use this? It is so funny. Oh, cracks me up. They think that they're fancy.
Right.
What is it? Sets in like this? It is, oh, and I cry
between
laughing.
Themselves trying to figure out, so if I put my finger in the 3 hole.
And then if they mess up, they're like, gosh, dang it, I got to start all over. How do you text with this? So funny. What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. On July 4th, witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience. The goal is for 2 million people to get into theaters the week of July 4th and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward so they can pack theaters the week of July 4th. Visit angel.com/freedom.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So the majority of Americans do not support trans athletes competing against women. 70%. There's like 3 new surveys out about this, by the way. Say that. No, they have to compete on the same as their gender. KATUs is a very interesting story. Sucralose, a chemical found in widely used sweetener, damages human DNA, according to a new study. It's a chemical that forms when humans digest a certain type of widely used sweetener. It's called genotoxic, meaning it damages DNA, and it's sucralose. How much, like, what all is that in? They said that several fat soluble compounds are produced after sucralose ingestion. This is why any processed food is so bad for you. They said that the new work establishes that sucralose 6 acetate is genotoxic. That is the North Carolina State University and the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And they said that it's all that can be found in off-the-shelf sucralose even before it's consumed and metabolized. In fact, the European Food Safety Authority has a threshold of toxicological concern for all genotoxic substances that are 0.15 micrograms per person per day. They said their work suggests that the trace amounts of the sucralose 6 acetate in single daily sucralose sweetened drinks exceed that threshold. So wait, is that in my diet sodies? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Why is that going to get a bit of it? What am I going to do? Should I just... Shush up, but I love my diet sodies, though. What? I have one a day. What? I do. Yes. How bad is it? Oh my gosh, I want to throw the show to the side for a second and start Googling this. Hold up. All right, so let me get the rest of it. Hard liquor consumption is up. Apparently, people are drinking more liquor as much now as they did during the Civil War. Makes sense. Let's see. They said the average American drinks 60% more hard liquor now than the mid-90s. I will say, I think that it's not so much due to stress and stuff. I think because the cocktail thing has taken off, right? Like mixologists, and it's like a new, they're drinking more, like the whole quote-unquote fake speakeasies are back. They said that that now hard liquor, more people are drinking that more so than ever. But I do think it's because of the cocktail movement. The whole, all, don't you think so? I think it's really because of that. I think it ebbs and flows, but, you know, anyway. So let's, ooh, this is pretty impressive. A 16-year-old gamer breaks the world record. Fastest typist in the world at 300 words per minute. I can type super fast, like ridiculously fast, but not 300 words per minute fast. That's pretty amazing. A 16-year-old. It's a Florida-based YouTuber called Mythical Rocket. It's pretty amazing. Stick with us. More in store. Oh, boy. Kane, I can't even read this one, but we can at least probably put the graphic up in a simulcast in the screen. So there's a project from the coming out of the administration. Kane has seen it. He just saw it. It is a from the Washington Free Beacon. It's a project that wants to spend hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars to translate a book that is a self-described vocabulary of alphabet terms into Spanish. And it's the book is called Homosaurus, an international alphabet and linked data vocabulary. So it's the LGBTQ plus whatever. It's the National Endowment for the Humanities in January announced a $350,000 grant. It's going to see the University of Washington create a Spanish language version of the Homosaurus.
The what?
Homosaurus.
Okay.
The dictionary features a dinosaur standing under a rainbow as its logo, defines hundreds of terms and phrases relating to all bunch of made-up terms. The transgender intersex concepts, all this stuff. I can't even get into some of the stuff that they are wanting to translate. I can't, because I can't talk about it. I'll totally probably get fined. It is incredibly inappropriate activities that some people might do in a romantical way.
Why do we care about that?
I don't know. Like, for instance, they're trying to figure out what is the Spanish word for indigiqueer. There isn't one.
Indigiqueer?
Yeah. That sounds like a, it almost sounds like a setting for your television.
Well, the picture's brighter.
That was more colors. The rainbow. I don't know. They said, so that's a term, by the way, Kane.
Indigiqueer.
Indigiqueer.
All right.
It's used to it's used to describe the identity of people who are both indigenous and queer.
Oh, that's clever.
Indigiqueer, you know. So it's like J-Lo. You just, and like, and Bennifer. You just like mush different words together to create a new word?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Science, Dana.
Is it science?
Science.
Science. It's science. So indigiqueer. So what, I mean, you could, oh my gosh. Guys, this is a whole article of stuff I really can't even say half of the way. Well, like, for instance, some of the, nope, can't say that.
No.
Hang on. But our taxpayer dollars are paying for it. It's stuff that I wouldn't, I don't know, Kane, where to go with this. You know, are you looking what I'm looking at? Okay, yeah. We can't, right? That's the, that is the international audible symbol for, let me try this. Okay, go ahead.
Clear
try your best,
here.
Sir.
So apparently, Homosaurus also includes terms that define minors under the age of 18.
Oh, no.
As...
like their children. There's a kid.
I don't even want to say it.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Do you see what's happening?
Okay, well, I can say this one. They're trying to find the Spanish word for bear, which is not the animal.
No. This is kind of like, you know what the Urban Dictionary is? If people know what the Urban Dictionary is, this is like a version of the Urban Dictionary for LGBTQIA.
Yeah, it kind of is. That's a good way to put it.
A-S-Q.
Barbecue.
Group.
Don't forget that. BBQ. That's the most important letters that you can put together.
Favorite part of that group. Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to get the Spanish word for bear. That is not to describe the animal, but a slang term used to describe a hairy and large or muscular gay man. Build-A-Bear. I think it's a whole new meaning. Just saying. So there you go. Yeah. I can't even believe that. And this is a grant that is doing that. A grant. So the database is maintained by the Digital Transgender Archive, which is the thing we have now. And it's a bunch of stuff that's just dumb, and I don't have any. This is all so goofy. Oh my gosh!
Look, on my mom's side of the family, we're Mexican, right? So mm-hmm. very, I wouldn't even say religious necessarily, but very family centrist.
Gosh, I really want to put a camera on you and have you go down to Matamoros and ask people in your family, like, oh. So what's the Spanish word for this?
They would laugh out loud.
Oh my gosh!
They would laugh out loud. This is just I think it's an attempt to, remember the Latinx thing that they were trying
this
to
This is so well, much worse, though.
This is way worse than that. This is I think this was all by design and planned in advance.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.